All right. Well, today, the service is going to be a little different. It's going to be a little more creative. Today is about worship. And we're just going to create a space where we can worship, where we can communicate with God. I believe that worship is where we set our focus and our attention back onto God. So during this time, we're going to weave the songs in with what I'm sharing. I'm going to invite you to pray, to do prayer exercises. You'll see that there's paper and colored pencils. There's extra up there, and there's extra in the back. You can get up at any time during the service you want, especially if you need another color. And I'm going to encourage you to draw, especially if you're kids. Draw some prayers to God. Draw what you think God is like. I encourage you to write something down. To use a journal. I don't know if anybody has a journal. Get out your phone if you have a journal. You can do it electronically. This is a free time. This is a space where we're going to experience worship of God together. So there's more paper and pencils up here. If you didn't bring like your journal, if you just want to write something to God, you can fold this in half. And look, you have a journal. And I just started a little journal. And then if you back to this, fold it back again, we have a big journal. Big journal, big journal. My daughter's in there. She's like, thanks, Dad. So I just encourage you anytime. You may want to stand during the songs. It's up to you. You may want to come forward and kneel. That's fine. You may want to sit quietly. This is an open space where we're going to communicate and listen to God. Because the section of the psalm I want to focus on today, ascribe to the Lord all you peoples and nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Worship is what we're about this morning. And worship again is where we come and we set our minds and our hearts on God. That's what worship does. We do it through songs. We do it through listening to the word. We do it through prayer, spiritual disciplines. But that's why worship is important. That's why we have to come together. Yes, we worship alone, but man, I need to know in this world, in this day, that I'm not alone. That there are other men and women who love Jesus Christ as much, if not more, than I do. You know, who can really be there and say, we're seeking God together. Where you can encourage me and I can encourage you. But mostly it's the encouragement of Christ that you see. Your focus determines your direction. If you want to focus on the things that you read on Facebook, it will set the direction of your life. If you want to focus on Christ, he will set the direction of your life. If you want to focus on, even though it seems like it's hard not to, on every negative thing that happens, that will set your direction. If you want to focus on a certain dream or a vision that you think is good for your life, then that will set your direction, right? If you spend most of your week thinking about something, that will set your direction. So as we begin this morning, I want us just to reflect. Again, draw, write, just think. It's totally open to you. What do you spend most of your week thinking about? For a lot of us, it's our job. Well, if your focus is your job, then your job becomes the direction of your life. Everything kind of gets built around that. The question this morning is, where is Christ? Worship centers us on Christ. It recalibrates us, to use that term, right? That Christ is the one that we calibrate our lives with. Christ is the one that must be at the center so that we can even begin to understand, to evaluate our lives. Ascribe means to give, to place, to set upon someone glory. Ascribe to the Lord glory, who is God. You can worship God this morning by just writing down, by just drawing the attributes of God. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Amen. Glory and strength. Worship the Lord this morning. Let's begin just right there. Just take a moment of silence. And just speak to God what you love him for, what you appreciate, what you know. Does it matter? Whatever it is, simple. Just take a moment of silence. think about God. Lord, we give you glory, strength, blessing, and honor, wisdom, and power forever. Holiness means to be set apart, to be utterly different. And to say that God is different, that God is unique, to say that there is no one like God, means that not just does he not just stand out like one among his peers, but he is totally unlike, above, beyond anything that we can think or even imagine, because he is God. So when we say ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, we ascribe to the only one who is worthy to be worshipped. The only one. And all of us, every human being that lives, our idolatry is that we ascribe glory and strength to someone else than God in Jesus Christ. We don't ascribe glory and strength to a president, or to a leader, or to a politician. We don't ascribe glory and strength to basketball players and quarterbacks that have already won too many Super Bowls. We don't ascribe glory and strength to people, right? Entertainers, superstars, think about it. We spend so much time trying to give glory and strength. Sometimes it's selfish, right? I mean, I look at some people's feeds and it's like it's all about myself. How many pictures of yourself do you need in the world? Glory and strength belong to God, friends. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. We all fail to do that. It's God only. God first. Jesus Christ first. And Jesus Christ only. That's what I'm calling you this morning. Those of you who believe that with me, let us rejoice and hold that strongly. Those of you who are wondering, consider this an invitation into something bigger. Something bigger than promises. Something bigger than speeches. Something bigger than whatever. Something bigger than the biggest thing we can imagine, which is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Like Daniel, I want to remind myself this week, I'm a follower of God first. I'm a Christian first. Ascribe to the Lord all your families and nations. Oh my gosh, there's such beauty in that poetry. It describes when the Jews would come together as families to Jerusalem. So the families would come together, and then as families, the families would get together, and families upon families, because within any nation, there's always subgroups, peoples, families, tribes, languages, right? But in this psalm, the Holy Spirit gives King David prophetic utterance to say that one day this will be for all the nations. God's kingdom is without borders. God's kingdom is without borders. Because Jesus is for everyone. Every nation, every tongue, every tribe is coming before the Lord. That brings me to Revelation. Oh man, I want to talk about Revelation today too. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to share a few thoughts. Then I'm going to give us some time in between our songs and thoughts to just meditate on this. Oh man. Revelation 5 is this vision that John has. And he sees this in heaven. Just this beautiful picture of what's happening. You know what I love? It's like the Bible is so real sometimes. How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Just raise your hand. I just want to know. And it's not something that we always read or read very often. Revelation can be kind of weird to people because it's all full of visions and dreams and people try to interpret it. Understand this basic thing first. It was written at a time when the Christians were living under the Roman Empire. And a lot of the things that they talk about are about the emperors. In fact, when John wrote this, the emperor in charge of Rome was Domitian. And Domitian was like mad. He was crazy. He called himself a God. He made everyone around him say, "You will refer to me as God. You will call me Master and God." He pissed off all of the other leaders in Rome. I mean, he was crazy. When he died, they erased his name from every monument because that's how many people he angered. This is what his contemporaries wrote about him as he was the emperor, the leader of the world as we know it. They wrote about Domitian, "He is blind to the true meaning of his position." So imagine that, a leader who was blind to the true meaning of their position, because things were so much different back then. Praise God. It doesn't matter. To John, he's like, my vision was lifted. My vision was lifted to heaven. All this stuff was going on in the world. Some of it was hopeful and some of it wasn't. And my people, my brothers and sisters, were dying. Christians are still dying around the world. But my eyes were lifted. My focus was raised. My gaze was lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as some of you know, I was in El Salvador last week. I was blessed to be in El Salvador with the families and patients, as we talked about. And in El Salvador, the pastor from House of Praise and Worship, Bishop Cruz, he spoke on this passage, and it really touched me, and I want to share with you a couple things he said. And I mentioned this passage a couple weeks ago because it says that the Lamb purchased from every tribe and language and people and nation with his blood. But you'll notice right in the middle there, at the end of the second paragraph, it says they sang a new song. It's like our theme, right? A new song. They sang a new song. There's a new song, right? They sang a new song. Why did they need to sing a new song? Let me share with you what the bishop shared. Let's just back up a second, right? Because John saw the right hand of the one who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides of it, and it was sealed, right? Let me get my visual aid here. So here was the scroll, right? And it was rolled up. And there was writing. Sorry, I was walking from that speaker. Sorry, sound man. And it was rolled up. And it was written on both sides. And it was sealed, right? And the seal is what you put on to say, this comes from this person. It had the seal of God upon it. And it was the writings, and his writing was it. And the mighty angel was proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" And the bishop said, it wasn't just, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy?" But you think about when you've been in places where they're calling out. In El Salvador, we drive through San Miguel. And in San Miguel, people that are selling something are calling out in a loud voice. And the scene is like that, right? Remember. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Is anyone worthy to open this scroll? Who is worthy? And no one was found. In heaven, it says no one on the earth, no one under the earth. Think about who was there. Moses was there. Moses was there. Elijah was there. David is there. Samuel is there. Deborah is there. Ruth is there. Rahab is there. Mary, the mother of God, is there. None of them were worthy to open the scroll. Wow. Everybody that's ever lived is there. No one is worthy. That's a lot of great people. I would think someone would be worthy. And John begins to weep. He weeps. Because no one is worthy. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Don't ever think your prayers don't matter. they're collected in bowls of incense that rise up before the Almighty God. And what do they say?
What? What?
Come on, everybody say it. What do they say?
A new song.
A new song, right? You are worthy. This is a song. You are worthy to take the scroll over this. Because you were slain with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, and people and nation. May them be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and then reign on the earth. There's only one who is worthy. Let's pause there for a moment. I invite you to just to think about the strongest thing that you know. Who is the strongest person that you know? Just think about that for a moment. What in your life seems so strong that it might overwhelm you? What seems beyond your control? Just reflect on that for a moment.
Risen, Christ is risen.
Grace, what have you done? Lord, we just ask that in this moment, that whatever we've been holding back from you, that we would give it back. Because we know that our breath isn't our own. We know that waking up today was a gift from you. And we just ask that you would truly help us to find strength in your promises, to find strength in the scriptures that you've gifted us. We just thank you for the words in the Bible that just teach us about that day when you died for us. You were murdered for us on that cross. And all we can say to you is thank you. And all we have to give back to you is our lives, which when we think about it, it's really not that hard. We just make it really hard for ourselves. You don't make it hard for us. You actually make it pretty darn easy to come to you. But Lord, we know that the brokenness of this world is hard, and it keeps us from you. We just ask that the chains would be broken, and that we would come back into your light, and that your grace would wash over us, and that we would repent of the things that we know are not of you, and that we would have the courage to do what's right. In Jesus' name.
Receive the forgiveness of Christ this morning. I know there are some of us here who are struggling with guilt, with shame. Just receive Christ's forgiveness this morning. Say, Jesus, I confess, I've done wrong. I receive your forgiveness. There's a spirit of grace, a spirit of forgiveness in this room. Some of you are ashamed, and Christ says, don't be ashamed anymore. Because I shed my blood for you, and I purchased you, and I redeemed you. You are glorious unto me. And in my life, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, what anybody else thinks. But only what Christ says. I will stand with you wherever you go. I will stand with you, and I will always be with you. There might be one or two here today who have a hard time forgiving someone else. You know, that's tough. It's a process. Once, you got to keep doing it. Take another step in this moment. Ask God to help you forgive somebody else. Purchased for himself women and men from every tribe and nation and people and language. And he made them to be a kingdom of priests to rule and reign upon the earth. The movement of God, friends, we must understand, is towards unity, is towards oneness. The early believers proclaimed there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And unfortunately, there have been many people who have claimed to follow Christ, many false prophets and teachers. There are those who lack the true understanding of faith. And unfortunately, sometimes those people must come to that realization. And because there's some people who want to divide, who want to separate, who want to say there's us and them, that's not the movement of Christ. Christ is to break down the walls. When the leaders were made without words, to bring us together, right? I mean, Jesus said, I'm in my movement, is to bring it as every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every culture, every skin color, every, it's important to me. He says, it's for us a new identity, a new citizenship, a new allegiance, if you will. And I invite us now to think and reflect for a moment. Where do our allegiances lie? Because we all have them. They're important. Must be Jesus Christ first in our lives now and forever. Nothing else can be first. I'm sorry. Nothing can. Because to be honest with you, if I look at the history of time, thousands, ten thousands, maybe longer years, countries have come and gone. Countries have come and gone. Even the lines we draw don't even always represent the amount of different nations that are within those borders, the amount of different peoples that exist. But Jesus Christ remains the creator, the sustainer of life. Jesus Christ is the center of history. He's the center of the Bible. He is the center of life. He's the center of this earth. He is moving us towards one heaven and one earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take a moment of prayer and reflect upon that. I used to say when I was a kid, I'm so grateful. I was reminded that I was just praying with my friends. We're all equal to foot of the cross, right? That's what I thought of. So that's what brings us together. Lord, I mean, we don't look alike. We have a very different background. We have a very different story. But how do we come together? Maybe there are thoughts in our minds that we're wrestling with that come from our heart. Would you take a moment, just on your own, just think about what is in your heart right now. Just dig deep. Just ask God to help you see. God, what is in my heart right now? God, what do you want to speak to in my heart? God has purchased you with his blood and called you to be a priest in his kingdom to serve him. Who will you serve? Where will your allegiance lie? If God, Jesus Christ, purchased us to reign on the earth, as it says, to lead, to rule in God's kingdom, where will my allegiance be? Where will my allegiance be? that right now might begin to look like your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. Oh God, how we need humility. The Word of God also says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. That is truth. You can bank on that. Every prideful person will be opposed by God. You can trust and believe in that. And I don't judge. I look at myself. God, am I humble? Because when I see arrogance, when I see pride, it's like a bad taste in my mouth. I don't want to listen to that person anymore. But in my own life, I probably need to be humble. I need to listen. I need to understand. So I invite you, let's pray together. Lord, would you give us true humility? God, would you give us the grace that comes upon the humility that you provide for us? For our church, Lord, for our city church, help us to be humble. Lord, we don't want to be big and popular. We want to be filled with God, we don't want to be famous on TV. We just want people to come to know Christ. God, give us your grace. Christ, we today ascribe to you glory and strength. We ascribe to you the glory that is due your name. Hallelujah. And we trust, God, that you will guide us. We know that faith is being confident of what we cannot see. So we trust you, God, as we move forward and forward. Forward in faith, following Jesus Christ. That's what we do and proclaim this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite you all to rise at this moment and receive the blessing. After the blessing, I invite you to come and eat with us down in the cafeteria. It's going to be tons of great, wonderful food to inspire your Daniel fast. It will still be a wonderful week. But let's seek the Lord together this week. Again, if you want some spiritual encouragement or devotions, you can find our podcast at Hartford City Church. It's on iTunes or on Podbean. It's on the website. You can find that, and I'll put some things out to help us stay focused this week and as we journey together to see Christ. Hallelujah.
Thank you, worship team.
Thank you. God, I just want to thank you. I just ask you to just say thank you in your hearts. God may have spoken to you this morning, given you a word. Just say thank you to God for that. Just give God thanks, Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace and shalom now and forevermore. Amen.